This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's go on to the defense. Cora Clancy was named after the very first baby her mother ever delivered as a labor and delivery nurse. She was 5 years old when she died. Kevin Reddington walked into a Plymouth jury through the walked the jury through the last 5 months of Lindsay Clancy's life. Every prescription, every hospital, every phone call where somebody told her to stay the course. We're breaking down where this all goes from here. And we learned this yesterday, too. I mean, again, this case is just, it's baffling to me. It is a prime example of someone who raised their hand and asked for help in every possible way. And the disease, the brain, whatever you want to call what was going on here, the postpartum psychosis ultimately won. But this is a person who was asking and begging for help, and she tried to get it, and it didn't work. By Thanksgiving, her parents actually moved up from Connecticut because she was rocking on the couch and banging her head into a pillow. Again, the burden of proof is on the prosecution to prove that she was completely mentally in a good place. She's rocking and banging her head into her pillow, and her parents have to move to help take care of their adult daughter along with her husband. Yeah. Reddington says Patrick went to a doctor and told them they were turning his wife into a zombie. The state's going to tell the jury that she looked fine on January 24th. Fine compared to what? What are we comparing her to? She's fine. This is totally normal, healthy behavior. It's baffling. I mean, I don't understand how they're going to be arguing this.
I Bob hit it really well when he said Reddington's going to demonstrate what this context is. And this is where I feel really good about this. I'm sitting here catching myself, obviously my own emotional hijacking going, because I am compelled to lean towards her side of requiring more mental health care because of what she went through. Because, yeah, the confirmation bias I had because of this is, I think, in there, although completely open. I can't wait to see what prosecution does. I'm glad they're up first. I'm glad we're going to see what their arguments are. I love taking in more information and data. But at the same time, though, here's where I feel really, really good. That context aspect of it. Patrick's given us context. Reddington knows the context after his opening statements, and also hearing from the great Bob Mata, who I have so much respect for, having listened to, and I'll give his plug out for the John Wayne Gacy case. Holy cow, I'm almost done with the podcast on that. And just the work these defense lawyers, these great defense lawyers, and I'll have to caveat, great defense lawyers do to put, as Bob says, to put in the work. It's profound, it's humbling, it's inspiring, because at least in this case here, whatever the outcome is that the jury decides at the end of the day, I do have faith. I mean, off of just one data point of the opening statement, that Kevin Reddington will give the jury the context they need to make the right decision. And that's what the judge was saying too. And that's what Reddington said too. I know you're going to make the right decision. This is a lot of burden on you. They're going to see really horrendous things. I had to turn it off yesterday when Patrick started talking and they're bringing up photos already of describe your five-year-old. I'm like, oh my God, I can't watch this. This is rough stuff, but it's important stuff to bring the importance of mental health and what she went through here. And if ultimately the jury decides that it was a premeditated choice for some reason, then I feel good in knowing that they did all they could. As of right now, we'll see how it goes.
Patrick testified that she told him about intrusive thoughts of hurting the children about 2 months before they died. The state's answer is that 8 days before, she still felt fine enough to go skiing and leaving the two little ones at home with her. That's not really actually proof of much. It's proof nobody told him what he was living with and that he really couldn't quite identify. As much as the prosecution says this is not a referendum on women's health and mental health, and it 1,000% is.
Why wouldn't it be?
I guess that's a bigger question that we don't really have a great answer to in our society. When someone says something like this, and in this case, we're talking about a woman who's going through postpartum psychosis. I think Patrick and her were probably looking at his postpartum depression. Very different. One's far more extreme. But if that's what you're thinking you're dealing with, the doctors are saying it's generalized anxiety disorder. It's actually bipolar one that she had. When you have this going on and you have someone that's having these sort of intrusive thoughts and they're saying them out loud to you, we don't have very good mechanisms on what to do with that human being for their own safety and well-being and the safety and well-being of others, because we don't talk about these things. We pretend they don't exist. I mean, half of our, you know, the audience is like, well, she's just evil. This happens. People say these sort of things. And when you're the partner, the husband of someone who's saying that, you know, or the wife of someone who's saying these sort of things, what do you do? I mean, yes, you can try and get them admitted. A lot of places will say, well, are they planning anything right now? If the answer is no, and they don't want to go in and they know the right words to say to not go in, that's not some sort of premeditated evil. That's the illness winning at that moment in time. What are you supposed to do? I mean, what is supposed to happen when the mother says these sort of things out loud? Because there's not really many levers that Patrick can pull that she already wasn't pulling to get help, that then kicked her out of the system or mismedicated her. We don't have many mechanisms in place when people go through these very real things, other than we just don't talk about them and pretend they don't happen.
Yeah, it goes, to me, it goes back to that 1 in 1,000. You don't train for 1 in 1,000 all that often. And when you're trying to keep fixing things and it's disjointed, as we're seeing in the comments here, you know, the medical professionals were not talking to each other like they should. They weren't decombobulating the soup of chemicals that she was on that they could put in her on. And when you are dealing with a 1 in 1,000 chances of something like this going on, what does someone like Lindsay and her husband and Patrick do? You defer to experts who supposedly are experts at telling you what to do.
Which they did.
Right. And they're doing that. And then it didn't work. And then nowhere in there did someone say, you got to get the kids out of there. No one said that, leave them with your parents. I mean, because they would have.
Maybe we need to do that in situations like this out of abundance of caution, because that's not the first lever anyone pulls. And it's not the first lever that I would expect Patrick to think of either. Again, because we don't tend to take crises. We don't see the level of crises in front of us until it's like, holy shit, it's there. And you're dealing with it at a level and you think it's being managed and you're trusting the people around you. Somebody asks, is it bipolar or is it postpartum? It's both. She was diagnosed with bipolar one. That's the ongoing, you got this, this is part of you type thing. On top of that, postpartum psychosis was going on after she had her baby. So postpartum psychosis is temporary. The bipolar one was misdiagnosed and was the underlying root of a lot of things. All of it not managed well, not diagnosed correctly.
And then also when you look at, when you take in the environment around you and you're making decisions based on the environment around you, which is your aesthetics, and Kevin Reddington's, you know, described what that house looked like. You have playrooms, you have cartoon images up on walls. I mean, it sounded like, as he's describing, a very loving, comforting house with young children in it. It's not like you have, you know, the friggin' Siders, you know, with 16 kids in squalor where you're like, oh my God, I got to save these kids. This is a conscious decision. We got to do something about this. This is, again, from the, our brains don't lock around the fact that something as horrendous could happen when it doesn't look like it could happen. When someone is performing exactly normal but has a psychosis, so something's being inserted. I mean, there's a lot of things that play into a decision-making process that it just, it is, it happens like this. Again, when you defer to the 1 in 1,000 and your medical experts are saying everything's fine, just take these medications, and you're trying to do it on your own, and you're being as, I mean, from, again, we'll find out more from the prosecution, but from our optic, she was being as transparent as humanly possible. Here's what's going on here. Here's what's going on here. Anyway.
You know, why?
You're killing yourself there, Tony.
Why I think the jury is going to be hung. Look at the chat. Because even with, like, you know, educated explanations. And here's what's going on. People still like to dig into where they like to dig into. And and everyone's titled their opinion. Like, that's totally
and
fine.
Good. But, and this is what we do. Critical thinking. Yeah. And that's great. That's why I love our audience. I love what we do, because this is about, all right, so if you don't think this, great. That's why let's watch a prosecution, listen, critically think through it. You know, I am still, as much as I'm on the women's health and mental health side of this, I am still going to keep taking in data. And I'll tell you what, there could be stuff that's presented. I might flip me completely around. We've done it on cases before. I'm willing to do it now, but that's why I'm also very happy that we at least have a defense attorney in here that's going to really give us some good data, I think, and good things to look at. And there you go.
I'm willing to hear what the prosecution has 100%. To say. As of yet, I haven't seen a whole lot that really changes my mind. Why am I passionate about defending this? Because I'm looking at, like, there's plenty of parents that are horrible that should hang for what they do to their children. This isn't one of them. Why? Because I look at every case differently. Not everything is black and white. Most things are not. And this one certainly is not. And if you're honestly looking at this thing, I don't see how anyone sees it many other ways. Again, unless, I mean, I could see a 19-year-old me having the exact opposite opinion on this case, because I have a lack of reps in life experience and I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. And I have a strong opinion. I could see another version of me who hasn't had life reps having a very different opinion. But once you have those reps on something like this, why am I so passionate about it? Because I've lived close to this.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm passionate about it.
I know.
Robin's had somebody who's close that's lived with this. That's why.
I love the high school friends that committed suicide to a psychosis. Like,
and anybody who's flippant about this hasn't.
Yep.
Period. Full stop. End of story. Bless your heart. I'm happy you haven't, and that you're able to not have it be that close and viscerally affecting you.
It blows your mind
when you see this.
When you see it, it completely blew my mind. We lost, my wife and I, because we went to high school together, lost a high school classmate who was valedictorian, went to a service academy, decorated officer, great mom, and lost her to this. Completely blew my mind. And that's when it really came home for me. And I know yours was even closer than that.
Because it does blow your mind, because you don't think people are capable of this sort of shit. You just don't, especially people that you trust, that you love, that have a total different history. They turn into a totally different human being. And you're like, I didn't know this was even possible. I thought this was in the movies.
Yep.
It happens. It happens. And bless your heart if you haven't experienced it. I hope you never do. I hope you never do.
And it was the same case of diagnosed, mismanaged with medical with medicines.
Yeah, and that's how so many of them are. So many. Well, they're doing this. No, they're not. And again, I can't fix that. I can't fix that lack of life experience. But all I can do is say
that's why this one, we're going to take a tragedy. Yeah. And the justice here is, let's get more. That's why, hey, great discussions, great arguments. Let's get more attention on it. Let's get better medications. Let's get better therapies. Let's get better attention so it doesn't happen again.
Exactly. Understand the failures and not just saying, well, it's not that. Well, it clearly is. It is clearly a big part of that. And that's why we talk about this. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.